The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Yes, it is. Welcome back. Friday, September 3rd, as we head into our final hour of the week. The phone number this open line Friday is 602-508-0960. Anything on your mind you want to ask about, talk about, bring up, we are here for you. First, let us go to John in Peoria by way of Pretoria. Hi, John.
You think you're so cute saying that little line.
I do think it's cute, but it's also... Yeah. A build-up, because when the audience hears it, they know they're in for something special.
Yeah, thank you very much.
There's a lot of other Johns out there. I love them all, and they all have nicknames. Yours is from Peoria by way of Pretoria.
All right. Thank you for the compliment.
They have sobriquets.
Okay. Well, I'm going to turn the compliment back to you very quickly. There is not, on record... I certainly doubt there is a radio host in this country, probably and beyond, who I think, and I bet a lot of the listening audience would concur, who is as well-read, as well-educated, as astute on any topic and unites that harmoniously with any caller as well. Not nearly as well as you do, Seth Liebson. Take that, buddy.
Well, you're very kind, and I'll just say thank you. I don't accept it, but I'll say thank you. Now let us move forward. Thank you, John.
I identify very much, Seth, with this wonderful lady from...
Tajikistan, Adiba. Wasn't that a heck of a story? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I'd like to just give her a big hug.
I know.
You know, she's wonderful. Yeah. I want to talk just quickly and make an observation, I think, with helpful application. Probably not many people know that just recently in the last, I think, 3 or 4 weeks, there was a great positive vote in the little country of Zambia. Population 17 million. I know Zambia. I love Zambia. I identify with Zambia like she identifies in many ways with her country as well. Her population is about 9 million. I just looked it up. Zambia is 17 million.
Wow.
For 6 years, President Lungu exerted terrible, violent, brutal control, killing people, turning off radio and TV stations. Control by power, threat, and anger. And that worked for 6 years.
Uh-huh.
I was there when he was elected.
Uh-huh.
I've seen the damage that he did. But people will not, anywhere in the world, people will not be controlled forever. They won't in her country, they won't in South Africa, and witnessed the riots recently. They won't in Zambia. They won't in South America. People are swimming across the southern border, jumping across the border, coming northbound. Not many are exiting because not only are, thank you, Neil Diamond, coming to America, but all the more.
Mm-hmm.
They're yearning to be breathed free. Take note, Democrats. Take note, White House, if you can. Take note, Hollywood, who says if never, never was going to be elected, they would leave. Not one did. So my point in this is, I'm nearly finished. If a little country like Zambia, which most Americans don't know anything about, if they will yearn to the degree for freedom to vote out what was wrong and vote in after reckless abandon, murder. And in a population of 7 million registered voters, win the election by 1 million votes.
Mm-hmm.
If they can do it, we can do it. And it takes a man like you, who is the focal point of all of this, in harmonizing it and understanding it and disseminating it through the airwaves. Amen.
Well, thank you, John. Let me raise a tough topic with you about this. I'll tell you what my biggest worry is. You know, this country can improve itself dramatically by immigration policies that bring in the likes of you and Adiba. You think of people like Zudi Jasser's family. It can improve itself dramatically by doing that. I think of, do you know who Ayaan Hirsi Ali is? Somali refugee who came, who left Somalia, then went to the Netherlands and became a member of the parliament there and became friends with a documentarian named Van Gogh, who's a relative of the famous Van Gogh, by the way, and did a film condemning radical Islam, and it got this artist, Van Gogh, Theo Van Gogh, murdered. It got him murdered by Islamists. They plunged a knife in his chest, and she knew her days were numbered there, too, so she moved here. She loves America. She's married to a well-known professor at Harvard, and she writes occasional op-eds and books as to why she had to leave Islam, why she felt compelled to leave Islam, and why she loves America. And you contrast her story from Somalia with the story of someone who came to this country from that country as well, Ilhan Omar. One of them loves this country and wants to do everything to strengthen it, and one of them despises what this country stands for and wants to do everything to dramatically or radically transform or change it. We can do the same on any number of things. You think about the assassination and terrorism at Fort Hood in 2009 at the hands of one Nidal Hassan, who was trained by the U.S. Navy. I remember Zudi Jasser saying, you know, this is someone who had the same training as I. He was a little younger. He came through the same came through the same education system I did. I came to treat the Speaker of the House and the Supreme Court and love this country, and he came to kill as many Americans as possible. And so I worry about our filtering. I worry about our education system. I have come to the view, John, that the worst thing you can do for an immigrant is stick him into a government school. I really have come to that worry, and it's dramatic because of this. That was the one-time point of our schools. The one-time point of our schools was to educate Americans into being Americans, including immigrants. And my concern, my fear is exporting what we put in our schools now to people who came here thinking they were going to get instructed on Madison and Jefferson and George Washington and free enterprise. Because for 12 years, they'll be instructed on the evils of all of the above. I worry about that. Do you worry about that?
Only 100%.
Only 100%. Perfect.
That is exactly right. People are jumping across walls and swimming across rivers to arrive at a place where it used to be what they are expected.
Exactly. Exactly. The line I sometimes use is we've become the kind of country we used to send aid to.
Exactly.
I really worry about that.
That's precise. I do too. I'm glad that private schools enrollment is up. It's greatly up. I know you know a lot about local school information, et cetera, and proactive about that, and I thank you for that. I concur with everything you just said, and you got an old Coca-Cola with a bottle top.
Yeah, yeah. Shake it up a little, see what happens.
You shake it up a little. It's going to escape. It's either going to be slowly, or it's going to explode. but it must come out. And people yearning to breathe free, it eventually has to come out. Early Christian churches grew faster than ever under the persecution days of Nero.
Mm-hmm.
It must come out. This lady, I'd like to communicate with her. Funny, when you were talking with the previous caller about the COVID virus, and that guy is excellent. I'd like to chat with him behind the scenes as well, if you can connect this with some kind of way.
Oh, I'm happy to. I can exchange emails.
And,
sure.
And while you're talking about that, you were sending an email to me. It says virus free.
Yes, the emails you send to me come virus free. I appreciate
virus
that.
Free.
There you go.
I don't know what they're taking.
There you go.
Yeah. Maybe we need that.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, whatever your email is taking, let's take that. I love it. You're funny. You're good.
It'd be difficult to digest my computer.
God bless
anyway,
you.
Lots of other
Thank
things.
You,
but
John.
I uphold this lady, and Australia is in trouble.
Australia needs to be rated an unfree country.
Absolutely, where it used to be really rebellious and free.
You bet.
You know,
yep.
Flamboyantly.
You bet.
Surfboard
you
free.
Bet. It can change like that.
My neighbor across the street bemoans. He came from England about 9 years ago. He bemoans that he is. It's not the country that I came to, he says. It is not the country that I returned to when I was 17. Hello, lady attorney. I agree with you 100%. Third world culture. There is a wonderful at Oklahoma Christian University, my undergrad alma mater. They have on the campus not school supported, but they allow a wonderful group. I know them all, who help returning children and adults of military or missionary to find a place. It is interesting to me that you played two songs about coming home. John Denver, Country Roads.
Yeah.
And the other one. And you choose those, Bill Tolmie, you choose the music. It is amazing to me how so many times the music you choose, just in the short outtakes of the lines you do, applies exactly to what the content of the caller is. You are right on target. There again, to say thank you.
We speak to a certain aspect of life.
You're pretty sneaky about it.
Yeah, I'm sneaky about it, Joe.
you're
calling me out.
Two things. Let's get together for a cup of tea this time, shall we?
Yep.
I want to do that one-on-one.
Cup of tea.
More than 2 years ago. And then secondly, listening audience, please verbally, in any way you can, uphold the quality gentlemen that we have an opportunity with whom to converse and listen. Named Seth Leibson.
Oh, you're very kind.
Thank you.
Thank you, John. You are too much. The payroll continues. Thank you, sir. Thank you, John. There's room for more of those on hold. Don't go away. We open up another line, 602-508-0960. I'm Seth Leibson. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. Portions of this show are brought to you by Trades Unlimited for all your roofing needs. It's a company I love. It's a company I have been to the headquarters of and have used myself most recently, and they were great, so cost-effective with what I needed, so responsible to me, and I don't think they knew I was an endorser of theirs either. It's a great company with an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. If you're looking for a new roof, a repair, an inspection, you name it, I want you to call my friends at Trades Unlimited. They like to talk right now for those of you with a flat roof because it might be time to consider a foam roof. Foam roofs are fabulous options for many houses here in the state. They provide insulation from water, noise, and of course, our terrible heat. If it's older than 5 years and it hasn't been inspected, it needs it. It may need recoating, but for any roofing needs you have, call Trades Unlimited at 480-483-1775 or visit them online at tradesunlimited.com. Tradesunlimited.com. David's in Phoenix. Thanks for your patience, sir. David, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. The reason that I decided to call you is hearing some of your people talk about illness and the viruses and all this other stuff and how they were helped. I wonder if I'm not on anymore.
You are on. We are listening to you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's things that are just even more simple than what they talk about.
Mm-hmm.
For example, have people look up things they don't know about baking soda and read what it says. It is so very, very simple. Because bacteria, viruses, candida, parasites, and cancer love an acid environment. They create an acid environment. If you alkalize the environment, you kill the disease.
Okay.
It's that simple.
Okay.
I've had...
One of the things I try not to do on this show is give out direct medical advice. I try not to.
Well, it's not a medical device.
Are you advocating people take a certain thing for a therapeutic effect?
I'm saying that baking soda alkalizes the body.
Okay, and I'll let people do their research on it. You bet. Thank you. I appreciate it, David. No, really. And from there, we'll just ask people to do the research they want. Ernie is in Glendale. Thank you, Ernie.
Hi, Seth.
How are you?
I'm well. I hope you are.
I am. Thank you.
Good. You feel like entertaining some information about masking?
Absolutely.
Great. Thanks. I know the left loves to go by the science, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if Google is correct, this is the science about the masks. The N95 will filter out particles 0.3 microns or larger. 95% effective. The problem is the COVID virus is 125 nanometers. A nanometer is 1,000 times smaller than a micron. So an N95 would be useless against the virus, and that mask is superior to all the masks people are wearing.
Here's what I know about masks. I know that the World Health Organization wrote, quote, "There is currently no evidence that wearing a mask, whether medical or other types, by healthy persons in the wider community setting, including universal community masking, can prevent them from infection with respiratory viruses, including COVID-19, close quote. New England Journal of Medicine, quote, "We know that wearing a mask outside healthcare facilities offers little, if any, protection from infection. Public health authorities define a significant exposure to COVID-19 as face-to-face contact within 6 feet with a patient with symptomatic COVID-19 that is sustained for at least several minutes. The chance of catching COVID-19 from a passing interaction in a public space is therefore minimal. In many cases, the desire for widespread masking is a reflexive reaction to anxiety over the pandemic," close quote. The CDC, back when it was sometimes saying the quiet part out loud last year, quote, "There is limited evidence for masking effectiveness in preventing influenza virus transmission, either when worn by the infected person for source control or when warned by uninfected persons to reduce exposure. Our systematic review found no significant effect of face masks on transmission of laboratory-confirmed influenza," close quote. More. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. I wanted to say something else about masks vis-a-vis Ernie's call from the last segment. I gave you some studies on it. I can give you some audio. And yes, in this case, it is pre-recorded. This portion of the show, the next 30 seconds, are pre-recorded. This is Michael Osterholm just last month. Michael Osterholm is a Democrat. He was on the Biden coronavirus task force. I've known his name for many years because he was the go-to guy with previous viral outbreaks. You didn't see Anthony Fauci during the avian flu and the MERS and those kinds of scares. For some reason, you didn't see him. What you got were interviews with Michael Osterholm. He's a favorite at CNN. He is, if Anthony Fauci sits on the Supreme Court, so to speak, I would say Michael Osterholm is on the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. He's one below. He is one of the most respected voices on the left. And for that purpose, all of media, when it comes to epidemiology, he is the director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research at the University of Minnesota. And he said this last month about masks, Ernie.
Well, first of all, we're in a very unfortunate situation. We've really brought this country to a point of confusion, which it really misses the main point that we should be focusing on vaccine, vaccine, and vaccine. You know, I wish we could get rid of the term masking, because, in fact, it implies anything you put in front of your face works. And if I could just add a nuance to that, which hopefully doesn't add more confusion, is we know today that many of the face cloth coverings that people wear are not very effective in reducing any of the virus movement in or out. Either you're breathing out or you're breathing in. And in fact, if you're in the upper Midwest right now, anybody who's wearing their face cloth covering can tell you they can smell all the smoke that we're still getting. We need to talk about better masking. We need to talk about N95 respirators, which would do a lot for both people who are not yet vaccinated or not previously infected, protecting them, as well as keeping others who might become infected, having been vaccinated, from breathing out the virus. So I think one of the things right now, we've just got to get a better handle on what does protect people and what doesn't.
According to Michael Osterholm, then, outside of the N95, forget about it. You're not doing yourself any favors. Now, where this debate is hottest, of course, is amongst the population of school-aged parents and their children. And if I do have a job here, it is to draw out what you can use and show to prove that not only are you not alone, but you actually have the science behind you, whether it's social, physical, medical, or otherwise. In the current issue of The Atlantic, there's a double-boarded professor of medicine from the University of San Francisco. You have the University of San Francisco in The Atlantic Monthly. These are not white evangelical, as CNN would like to portray it. These happen not to be white evangelical publications or authors. I don't know the author, this double-boarded professor in medicine, but his name is Vinay Prasad. He may very well be a white evangelical. I'm guessing he is not. He says, when it comes to children, and I'm quoting from the current issue of The Atlantic, they have different needs and vulnerabilities than adults. Early childhood is a crucial period when humans develop cultural language and social skills, including the ability to detect emotion on other people's faces. Social interactions with friends, parents, and caregivers are integral to fostering children's growth and well-being. Before I read on, and it gets better, I would point out simply this. You know you are in the midst of a good school. You know you have your child in a good school if the administration of that school understands that very point. That very point. That social interactions with friends, parents, and caregivers, as well as educators, are integral to fostering children's growth and well-being. You know you're in the midst of a school of decency when it understands at least that and doesn't try and pit student against student and family against family based on excruciatingly careful, regimented following of regimes that have meaningless significance. Excruciating and exquisite attention to rules of meaninglessness. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. I just want to give you a little more from this double-boarded professor of medicine at the University of San Francisco talking about masks and children in the current issue of The Atlantic magazine. There's so much data that comes at you. I just want you to not forget the basics. What was it George Orwell said? We have reached a point in time where the first task of the educated is to restate the obvious. This professor of medicine in The Atlantic writes, no scientific consensus exists about the wisdom of mandatory masking rules for school children. The World Health Organization, which recommends that children 12 and older wear masks under the same circumstances that adults do, specifically advise against masking kids aged 5 and younger. Many European nations have taken that advice. The United Kingdom, England, Great Britain, has emphasized rapid testing instead of masking and has not required elementary school students or their teachers to wear a face covering. May I repeat that for those of us that wish we would be more like Europe? The United Kingdom does not mandate masking for school children. Will not. In the United States, though, the CDC has called for kids aged two and up, to wear a mask in indoor school or daycare settings. Two and up. The CDC specifically makes exceptions for napping and eating. We all know about the eating exceptions. We've all been fortunate enough to learn that the virus stops while we eat and drink. Who heard of napping before? Who heard of that? In other words, the professor writes, the prevailing wisdom in the United States calls for 2 to 4-year-olds to wear masks in daycare for 6 or more hours while they are awake, but go unmasked while sleeping side by side in the same room with their fellow students or children. Shielding children from all coronavirus exposure is difficult for another reason. Never mind that COVID goes dormant when they go to take a nap, obviously. You know what it is? You know what it is? Children play with their masks the way the President of the United States plays with his. Perhaps they are more responsible. If they take it off, someone tells them to put it back on. So at least there's that minimization of waving it around, waving around a used mask as he puts it down and picks it up and then hands it to the child of another adult to throw away. That's your President of the United States. Now, this professor at the University of San Francisco writing in The Atlantic continues. A health recommendation that takes little account of how human beings act and what they need will not be successful. For instance, a diet that told you to eat just 2 carrots a day would theoretically result in dramatic weight loss. If your goal was weight loss, maybe that's advice that makes sense at a certain level. But mask mandates along those same lines can be challenging for children to follow and deprive them of the stimuli they need, just as strictly a 2-carat diet would render you not only unhealthy, but probably malnourished and sick. That is to say, we push down on one side of this socio-physical balloon, only to see it expand at the other end. I don't know how many more children you are trying to save by doing this. I don't know. Marty McCary, professor of medicine at Johns Hopkins, one of the most well-published medical researchers in the world. Martin McCary has done research on every test there has been, on every survey there has been, on every piece of research there has been, on children, COVID, and masking. Do you know what he found? Masks make no difference, and children who succumb to death with COVID all have comorbidity. Your child will not die from COVID, he says, if there is no underlying physical, secondary, or primary problem beyond COVID. While we're talking about masks, let me say one last word this week about vaccines. Because I think the data and math is getting lost, surprise, surprise, again, in the politics. You are told to vaccinate or else. Or else don't come to work, or else don't you know what. If you're Candace Owens, you can't get a COVID test if you aren't vaccinated. At least that's what one testing facility did to her. And I'm hearing other stories of this. I heard of a story today in Phoenix about a physician who and nurse who refused to treat someone who was unvaccinated. I suspect the next time a seatbeltless accident victim arrives at the ED or an overweight diabetic patient appears in their offices, they will refuse to treat them as well. When people say science took a hit and medicine took a hit this past year, they're not wrong. Two data points I want to share with you. Israel is the most vaccinated country in the world. 60% of the hospitalized COVID patients in Israel are vaccinated. 60% of the COVID patients in Israel are vaccinated. That is to say, the majority of the patients in Israel are vaccinated. Another mystery, according to the Washington Post, is India, where the Delta variant led to widespread chaos and death only 4 months ago, but then appeared to have been contained despite very few vaccinations in a very crowded country of 1.4 billion people. They have an 11% vaccination rate. Their 7-day average of daily deaths has plunged from 4,000 to 450 in a given day. This from Johns Hopkins University. The final point about vaccinations is the studies that have come out today that have shown that the vaccinated can spread just as easily and just as much as the unvaccinated. Stop your stupid rules. I'll come right back with some closing thoughts. Portions of this show brought to you by Cool Touch Air Conditioning, Heating, and Plumbing. You don't need to worry about the heating part, God knows, right now. But for all your air conditioning and plumbing needs, check out my friends at Cool Touch. It's the company I use, my friends and family use. I love Cool Touch for all your air conditioning needs, installation, repair, replacement, and plumbing needs. They're there for you 24/7. I know, I've tested it. Saturday night, they were there Sunday. They fixed me up and good. And with the most responsible of people. CoolTouchAC.com. CoolTouchAC.com. We'll be right back. I love the ending trumpet there, but I got to put in a word for those trombones on the way there. Well, thanks for spending some of your day, some of your week with us. There's a call I can't get out of my mind about the universal desire for freedom. There may be a desire we can appeal to in cultures that have never heard of it. And I think the way into those universal values of freedom that we think can be appreciated universally, transculturally, has to start with kids. Has to start with kids. Because I don't care what culture you're from. I don't know a culture where kids like to have their belongings and toys stolen from them. I don't know a culture where girls actually like to be grabbed and abused. I don't know a culture where little boys like to be bullied and be beaten up. You start there, you can have great discussions about human rights, about minority rights, and about property rights. That's in reverse order. If you think about kids who may not like their toys stolen, property rights. Girls who don't like to be grabbed, human rights. Boys who don't like to be bullied and beaten up, the rule of law. Also civil and human rights. Start with the children. What we learn from them, we can continue to teach to others. But start with them and their innocence. Let's not start with them as a country to rob them of it. Until Monday, God bless you all. I'm Seth Liebson. Bill and Anthony, thank you. Until then, class is dismissed.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.